News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
The Kate Daly Show. I'm just going to say that and slowly walk away. The show starts now.
If reelected, would you increase the frequency of garbage pickup?
Well, citizen, that's an excellent question, and I thank you for it. I think it's great we live in a town where you can ask questions. Because without questions, we just have answers. And an answer without a question is a statement.
Oh, I like him. He looks me in the eye.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad to have you on a Friday. I love Fridays. Favorite day of the week. It really, truly is. It's the only day where I actually, like, exhale. Like, I just go, oh, okay. Because Saturdays and Sundays just seem like they're so busy. Welcome to the show. And, of course, I welcome Ben from DefendingUtah.org. We love this organization here because they do such fantastic work. You've got to be able to become a better, effective, more effective citizen, and they have all the tools to do it. They also have a fantastic site where they're always doing the best journalism and talking about the truth about Utah. So welcome, Ben. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much. Just love being here.
I know. It's so fun. And you have so many DVDs and all kinds of things to help people. I love that you guys do that. You're always thinking outside the box and putting out stuff that's really, really great. And I just applaud it. So welcome.
We just actually got a new booklet out on our website. Speaking of those, it's based on our most popular DVD, The Prophets and the Constitution. It's an LDS perspective of what are the principles of liberty, what are the threats to it, and what's our duty to preserve it. And so it's a great additional booklet in our tools to be able to help others want to be involved.
Excellent. I love that. Guys, go get it. This is great.
It's only a dollar.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's awesome. That's really nice that you guys do that. I love that about you guys. A couple of things I just wanted to mention. Coming up on the show next week, Dennis Prager and Roger Stone. Very fun and interesting week next week. And Ted Nugent, the end of May. And that'll be a fun one, too. He's a fireball. Cat scratch fever, baby. And all kinds of guests I'm working with. I also have a whistleblower on the drugs that Assange has been given to make him seem unstable and to actually make him unstable. I should clarify that. And also the drugs that kind of pass as truth serum that they always say are truth serum, but they're actually drugs that are so, they put him into a mentally agitated state, and it's pretty severe. So I have a guest coming on about that. And I also, just so many guests right now kind of lining up, and also one that talks about China and the imprisonment of 3 million people there. And so, and they're coming in from DC, and they're also, they're very interesting group, and they'll be talking about that too next week. So a lot of guests coming up. Roger Stone should be good. And also I want to see how he is doing. And then also Dennis Prager. I love Dennis. And so it'll be a fun show. All right. Fun shows, I should say. Let's talk Utah. You were just having a conversation with somebody we have on the show all the time, Alex Newman, about the UN.
And the UN is coming at the end of August, 27, 8, and 9 of August, and up there at the Salt Palace. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we were discussing, we've talked a lot about the foundations of the UN, how it really was the building blocks of a world government, and also the different things that they've been involved with, the UNICEF and their involvement in sex trafficking of children. Ugh. And how when these UN diplomats, when they come into an area, so when they're coming here to Utah later on this summer, they will have, all of these diplomats will have diplomatic immunity. And so what happens when these UN conferences happen in a location is crime, prostitution, sex trafficking all skyrocket. Jeez. And so, but can the local police do anything about it? No, they have to turn a blind eye to everything these diplomats are doing because they all have diplomatic immunity.
Fantastic. And we're so welcoming of them over here. You know, we welcome the NSA Center. It's like, oh, yes, BLM head office, please bring it to Utah. We'll take it. I mean, it's nauseating at best. And I don't know if we realize the dangers of getting cozy with the UN. I don't think we get it as a whole.
No, and unfortunately, the Utah Valley University has joined officially their Department of Public Information, which is the propaganda arm of the United Nations. And so we have a university based right here in Utah that is dedicated towards being the propaganda arm of the United Nations here, promoting them, shutting anybody down that does not share their program agenda, and making sure that the media is right there in bed with whatever they're doing, not talking about. We actually talked to, we got an appointment with one of the VPs of UVU to talk to him about this. And he said his response was that these people need to have a venue to get their information out there, whether you agree with it or not, and that they're going to provide that for them.
Wow. Oh, it's disheartening. It is. It's truly disheartening. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll be reporting about that, too.
And what's interesting is one of our favorite U.S. State legislators, Ken Ivory, is an adjunct professor there now, and he's inviting socialists and communists to speak to his federalism classes.
You're kidding.
No.
Huh. Why does that just, you know, I used to have him on the show in the very beginning, and then the more the more he started kind of supporting some strange things. I don't know. There was so much there over the course of several years. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I just, it's just been amazing to kind of see where these people end up after being in office for a while. And he's not going anywhere. And I remember him coming on and talking about the fact that, oh no, the lawsuit for lands was going through and it was absolutely going to work. And he was being paid to do it. Mm-hmm. And at the time I thought, okay, this is great. And let's see where this goes. And the more I had him and Mike Noel on, I realized it was never going to happen. It was just something that just kept being promised and promised and promised. And they kept, you know, there was a lot of payment. And so far, have you heard a word about it?
It's been 5-6 years now.
Yeah,
nothing.
It's been five,
zero.
Six years.
Zilch.
So kind of amazing. Cause they were pretty much, they were banking on it, you know? So it was kind of this is absolutely going through, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think so. All right. So there's a couple of other things too on your mind as well.
So we just did an article. We just posted up at defendingutah.org that folks should check out. And it's in regards to the honor code controversy, those protests that went on simultaneously at both BYU, Idaho, as well as BYU and Provo. And we looked at some things kind of going deeper into what's really going on. And we found, just if you go to the website, we've got all the links and we've got the screen captures and all this kind of stuff. But it'd be really good for your listeners to check out what it is that they're saying publicly and then what it is that is actually when you apply those principles. So what they're trying, what they say publicly to get everybody on board, they're following communist strategy is they use a legitimate complaint to get illegitimate things done. And so they're saying, well, you know, the honor code department, we love the honor code, but the honor code department is misapplying things. But then when you actually look at what they want to do, they want to dismantle what the honor code department is doing. Now, whether you like the honor code or not, it's, to me, that's the irrelevant situation. But what's relevant is a private university being able to control itself, basically, and not be agitated on. Because what they're actually, what the demands are, we've seen how they are applied in other universities and other public venues. And what they do is they are trying to, BYU, you know, we've got these basic things of the honor code basically says that you promise to be honest, not do drugs, and be chaste, and support the honor code.
Right.
And if you don't like that, then don't come here,
right,
you know, basically.
Right.
And so what they're actually demand, crazy stuff. But what they're actually demanding when you actually look into the application of what they're saying is the removal of any type of what they call gender discrimination and gender identity at the university, at BYU.
Oh my gosh.
And so what that does is it creates an atmosphere where, of course, they now have to, they cannot discriminate against individuals for engaging for breaking the honor code, for engaging in premarital sex. It also is what they want to do is they want to require administrators to every year, so yearly, be trained in sensitivity training on specific issues such as the LGBTQA+ community.
Jeez. Wow.
And what this is doing in other areas, they're getting rid of the separate gender bathrooms. They're getting rid of, you know, of course, the different lockers. They're making it. And so all of the genders are mixed together in sports and really destroying. It's bizarre, because you would think the feminists would be upset about this, because now these men are coming in and taking over the women's sports and just, you know, obliterating all of the women's records.
You know what? That is so true. That is so true. And even the last one, even though it was, it was revoked, it doesn't mean that they're not going to allow people to do it. I mean, they're going to allow these guys to do this. And it really, that is very surprising that the feminists aren't outraged. They aren't outraged about Biden's creepiness. They aren't outraged about this. It's like certain segues for, you know, well, don't look there, but look over here. You know, it's right. Very interesting. And it's interesting how this is how they're able to have a group like this go in and basically undermine and try to, alter and change and really actually, you know, get rid of really the honor code that has stood for so many years. It's kind of bizarre how they're able to do it. And I think that's really what you're talking about, is the angles they use, the manipulation.
And then it's not just spontaneous. These things happened simultaneously at both universities. Hmm. And as we dig into it, we actually see a lot of these professors that it looks like it's coming through through organized from within, because just 2 weeks after these protests were going on, you have the valedictorian give his coming out speech. Mm-hmm. And then we look at some of these BYU professors that are working to undermine the honor code. We have BYU professor Jason Kerr on Twitter saying the only option we have, as long as the proclamation on the family is on the books, is to define it toward oblivion, dictionaries notwithstanding.
Jeez.
That's a BYU professor. And then we have another one. We have a BYU professor doing a podcast on the challenges in raising kids to overcome gender stereotypes. And so that's just two of them. There's a couple of dozen different professors at BYU that are involved in this type of activism to undermine the teachings of the sponsoring organization of the university.
Oh my gosh. You know, we've been reporting on a lot of the changes at BYU, or probably over, I'd say, the last 3 years have been very interesting and concerning. And I'll tell you, it's a strange world that we're living in, because I'm serious. It is really tough to watch this, because you're right. It's being done in a certain way. And they're able to sort of just keep swiping at this and swiping at this. And that's what you're noticing with the professors, with the valedictorian speech. Very interesting. Be right back. More with Ben when we come back. And you can also call up 888-673-1450 and join our conversation as well on the Kate Daly Show. Be right back.
Hey, it's Chris. Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady.
Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there, and even those that take care of people, those motherly instincts, you too as well. Happy Mother's Day. I know that this coming up this weekend, so of course, we got to do songs about ladies. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I have Ben from DefendingUtah.org, and just to let you know a little bit about today's show, I'll be going through talking about what the Pope is calling for now. Oregon just expanded their assisted suicide. I want to talk a little bit about Kissinger. I also want to talk about Napolitano. A lot of concerns over Napolitano, and I'm going to raise my hand on that one too, because he's very concerning. And why has he flipped so hard? And then also Comey, and then the border. In the last hour, I have a great guest, Andrew Harrington, who actually works in the mountains in North Carolina, who's fantastic and lives off the land, mountaineer for sure, and tells you what to do. And if you're going camping, even, you might want to listen up, because he's full of great advice. He brings up groups and has them live off the land, and he's pretty neat when it comes to prepping and also to knowing what to do. If you ever had to flee somewhere, something big happened and you had to go somewhere, what would you do? Let's take a caller, Ben. Hold on just a moment. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. Great to be on the show.
Thank you.
Is Kevin here from Montana.
Kevin. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Go right ahead with your question. I'm on with Ben from Defending Utah.
Yeah. Do you think that BYU is going to cave to the changing of the honor code? And how so? And another question, maybe some of you are uncomfortable answering, but do you think the Baptist Church is going to change their mind on same-sex marriage? And see them caving in with the LGBT community.
Interesting. All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Kevin. Really appreciate hearing from you. Haven't heard from you for a while. Thanks a lot. All right. Go ahead. What do you think?
So will BYU cave? And how will it happen is the first question that I remember him asking.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a movement to do so. And if enough of the professors are allowed to continue to promote what they're saying and not get in trouble for it, I think there'll be enough pressure where BYU probably will, especially with Title IX funding and how that's changing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And so if enough parents don't have their voices heard and don't stand up for the values that they sent their children there for, then yes, it will. But if enough of them do that, stand up for that, then I think that there's a chance that BYU will stand strong. Now, will the church do so? I don't know how I can answer that in a way that will sound not, I don't care about the way I sound.
Right.
I don't want to be misinterpreted.
Yeah, no, I can understand.
And so I'm not sure how to address that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not either, because I see them saying, you know, love people, and that's fantastic.
Yep,
that's what we should all be doing. So I'm hoping that, I don't even want to go there today, because I already have a headache today on the air, and I'm serious. Every time we tackle that, it is just, it just becomes,
it's not my stewardship,
life.
So I'll stay out of it.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll have to see. And I would hope that nothing would change on that doctrine wise or anything else. And let's just leave it there. I want to talk about, the Tribune becoming a charity. What? Okay.
So some interesting background, and this will make sense. So you go back to the beginning of the Tribune. It was founded by one of the founders was a guy by the name of William Godbey, and he was a disaffected member of the church, and he formed it as a way to subvert the church from within. And used it as a tool, because the federal government, the vice president of the United States, actually came out to Utah and was discussing doing another invasion, just like what led to the Mormon War. And he says, no, I've got my resources. You would be much more effective if we do this from within. And so William Godbey was actually trained by the same guy that trained and instructed Karl Marx and Frederick Engels. And so that's going back to its very foundation, those early days. That's exactly what it was all about. And so just this last week, the Huntsman family, which took over the let me step up. So you go to the 80s and 90s, and the publisher of the Tribune was a member of the Bohemian Grove in San Francisco. So continuing throughout the years, these are internationalists, these are insiders, these are people that are dedicated towards destroying the liberty of mankind. And so then the Huntsman's take over just a few years ago, and then this week, after years of losing money, they put up a paywall to try and make money that way, realizing that everybody can get free news everywhere else, that nobody's doing it. And so they decided to say, hey, we'll turn the Tribune into a charity so people can donate to it and get a tax deduction by doing so. And what they're using very Orwellian language. They say that that the Tribune and its supporters have been a progressive, meaning very liberal, big government mindset mm-hmm. and propaganda mouthpiece. But and so this foundation would entice the progressive population to donate to keep an independent voice. Now, which is it? Is it a progressive voice or is it an independent
exactly.
voice?
Exactly. Who's going to be controlling it is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to continue. This is a way to be able to try and change the culture in Utah, just like with BYU, mm-hmm. to adapt the ways that made us get us away from the things that made us different.
Yeah.
And why everybody wants to, why does everybody want to move here? I lived a long time in Idaho as well. And after moving from California to Idaho, I saw these Californians moving to Idaho and saying, we love it here. Let's make it like where we left.
Yes.
And the same thing is happening here in Utah. Everybody's yep. saying, oh, we love it here. Let's make it like the place we hated and left.
Isn't that the truth? Oh my gosh. I know. And see, I'm from California. I did not want to bring California with me. I actually came here for Utah. So I can't identify with that, but I know people that have, and it's really kind of sickening. Let's take a phone call. Hi, caller. You're on with Ben from Defending Utah. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, I like, you know, what you're saying as far as the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It's we're losing our independence. And, yeah. you know, an example is I can own my car, but I can only drive it if I pay, you know, the licensing fee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can own property as long as I pay property taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, I can have a business as long as I sell the prescribed products. You know, mm-hmm. you know, you look at pharmacies, it's like mm-hmm. you have to have this drug.
Right.
And so it just seems like, you know, those personal liberties are just slipping away. And I think, you know, when you look at it from a religious perspective, you can have a university, but you have to do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the private university can say that we want things to be the way we want things because we're private. And I respect that. I think, okay, that's fine. Because then you have a choice as a person to either go there or not go there. But I also don't want to see, so you were talking about BYU, right? I don't want to see people cave either to bully groups. To bully groups that go under a different guise, the bully groups that tend to pass themselves off as one thing but are actually undermining and doing something else either. So that's kind of where I stand with the privatization of a school. But I understand where you're going with the losing of liberties, because mm-hmm. that's a whole another yeah. thing within the state itself, right?
Well, with the school issue, okay, so then don't be involved in Title I. You know, don't
exactly.
be involved in these things
you're right.
that
yes.
would require it.
You're right.
But I don't even think they're going to let us do that, because to try to have a business and don't include what the government makes you include. So, you know, mm-hmm. it would be nice to say this could be a completely independent private university or business.
Exactly.
But I don't even think we can get away with that anymore.
You're right. And don't take funds, because then we know who is, you know, if you take the funds, then we know exactly who's going to be pulling the strings. So, yeah, then you cease to be private. So thank you. I love your comment. Thank yeah. you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate that. We have another caller for you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on with Ben from Defending Utah.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. The slaves give the police state and the courts all that they need to remain slaves. Mm-hmm. We actually celebrate our bondage. As long as they let us. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we yeah. back the blue, and the troops are over there fighting for our freedom in the Middle East. I mean, that's nuts. I don't live there. That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Well,
that's Kool-Aid.
Yep. Yes, I totally get what you're saying. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's back the blue in the way that I want somebody to show up when I call 911 and need some assistance. Yes. Back the blue with heavy badges. No, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to look at that. But man, we talk about foreign policy all the time on the show. And I really do know that people are waking up and realizing that after the, you know, 100th total coup, that we're not defending democracy over here. We're basically under our republic over here. We're basically invading. So At some point, we'll get the memo nationwide, I'm sure. But maybe it's on the 150th coup. Who knows? So let's talk about carbon tax for just a second, too. Yes. I wanted to bring that up with you. Go right ahead.
So, yes, there's another ballot initiative. Aren't we excited about more ballot initiatives?
Yeah.
That is working its way onto the ballot to add a carbon tax in the state of Utah. Now, no other, I think maybe Washington has a small, they tried to pass one in their legislature, but the people actually overturned it by ballot, which is kind of interesting. In Washington state, California has one, but no other state in the country has been able to get a carbon tax passed. But just like this last year, there were several big government things you would never think would pass in states like Utah and Idaho, like expansion of Obamacare. That passed on the ballot because, of course, in the state of Utah, we you just get Salt Lake to vote for something and the rest of us are stuck with it.
So
there's this push to add a huge tax on basically pollution. And so they're going to be increasing through this, again, of course, a gas tax by 10 cents. Also, if you use wood-burning stoves, and the name of the organization is Clean the Darn Air is the name of the group. And what they want to do is another part of it is an $11 tax on each metric ton of carbon dioxide emissions. So what this means, so you got your trucks, you got your trains. You've got all your heavy machinery that actually, so it's not just going to tax the, you know, those industries. That's going to skyrocket the cost of food because it's going to be, you know, producing the food. It takes carbon emissions to produce food. It takes carbon emissions to distribute it. And along the lines of that, what they're going to do is they're going to force all over the state is to get rid of, the ability, you know, that they want you to, if you're going to be idling there for a few minutes, you need to turn off your car, which actually increases pollution.
Yeah, it does.
Because car burns cleaner when it's warm.
Yes.
And so when you're turning it off and on, you're actually increasing pollution.
So where does the, so they take the taxes, and I know they're trying to do this to penalize people so they don't do these things, and it's ridiculous. But so what do they do with the money? Like they collect the money. What do they do with it?
Everybody knows that the more money you give to government, the less the sky is polluted, right?
Yep. So just wondering.
What they want to do with the money is they want to, one of the things they want to do is, you know, with trains, we have.
Hold that thought. Okay. We'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Pretty woman walking down the street. The kind I like to meet, pretty woman. I don't believe you, you're not the truth.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I've got Ben from Defending Utah. Always a treat to have him. Make sure you subscribe to their newsletter and get over there for some fantastic reporting. And they really do the deep dive into the story, and I really like that about them. They have some new investigative pieces that are coming out that are surprising, and they're going to be very surprising because they're naming companies that are, that usually aren't in the news for these kinds of things. So make sure you're paying attention to defendingutah.org. Also, coming up is the Doctor's Volunteer Clinic Spirit of Hope Gala on the 18th of May. So you don't have a lot of time left. You got to get those tickets for next weekend. And it's at 5:30 on the 18th. And it's a black tie event. And they don't take any federal funding at the Doctor's Volunteer Clinic. It's all done by donations on galas like this. And so this is a great way to help out. And I really do like the idea of doctors volunteering their time, retired or almost retired doctors and nurses and staff and volunteer staff that come aboard and help. So I love it. So make sure you're a part of that. And also, Dr. Diet has a class tonight fermenting. So you might want to check that out. Dr. Diet Wellness, it's tonight. And you can actually give them a call and find out more details on that. It's 628-DIET. 628-DIET. Dr. Diet's how I lost 33 pounds and have kept it off all year. Pretty amazing stuff. Also, get over to Auto Body Central and ABC. Make sure you give them a call. If you have any body work that needs to get done, those are the guys. I really like them. I've used them myself. 817-0949. All right. And happy Mother's Day to all of you, too. Okay, you have to finish your trains because we just started talking about, I was asking you, so when they collect the tax, where does the money go? You know, that's a hard thing for them to answer. So it's very telling. But I want you to talk about carbon tax for just a second.
Yeah, so there's an initiative, and they're trying to raise the carbon tax, $11 for every ton of carbon emissions. And the money is going to be used, one of the things it's going to be used for is replacing all of the train engines in the state with cleaner burning engines. And so, but
interesting. I just get so tired of these this mantra, this illusion, this scam. I'm getting it's nauseating. Go ahead.
Well, and they said, well, how many? It was that we had one of our correspondents there, and he said, well, how many are there in the state? You know, how what kind of impact is this going to have? And they said six.
Six
of the ones that would qualify.
Okay.
And the other thing they're going to do, they're going to make it so they're going to get rid of all of the wood-burning stoves in the state, you know, so that way you're dependent. There's no more self-sufficiency. You'll be dependent on either the government or corporations to be able to provide your heat.
Yeah.
Also, what they're going to do is to sell people that would normally be against it, is they're going to be giving tax credits to the elderly, because these are people that would normally be against tax increases, but they're going to try to buy them off by giving if you're like 65 or older, you'll have a huge tax decrease. And so to try and sucker people into this.
Oh my gosh. It's horrifying. I did a whole show one time on Harlan. Harlan Cleveland. Back in 1995, who basically wanted the emissions tax. And so, of course, he went to Global Means, and he was from a think tank in Washington. And he went to a think tank, and they basically said, you know, we can't implement this anywhere but America, because America won't ask questions. So they'll just welcome a tax, because the environmentalists will get on board, everybody will get on board, and then they'll pretty much pressure everybody into doing this and then say we're doing something for the environment. So ever since 1995, you know, we've been paying this, and it actually became a vehicle to pay for the UN.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't think we realize sometimes what we've been suckered into again and again and again by these people, these globalists.
Absolutely. And the media is right there along with them. We mentioned the Tribune earlier, and the Tribune did an article on the meeting that our correspondent was there at, and they completely misquoted and misreported some of the comments, all the comments that were made there by our correspondent. And he said, the guy that was there reporting, it says Micah Turner told the Clean the Darn Air representatives that he distrusts the scientific consensus. And that's not at all what was said. He said, there is no consensus. He says, and he asked them, he said specifically, he says, well, how many are there? And they said 90%. He says, 90% of what? And they're like, they had no answer for him. He says, there's no consensus. Give me the numbers. And so he was just demanding numbers from them, and they wouldn't give it to him. And so the Tribune said, instead of saying that they couldn't provide consensus, they couldn't provide numbers, they just said, oh, he didn't believe it. Well, there's nothing to believe when nobody's given you any information.
Exactly. It's all full of holes. They can't. Yes.
It's just numbers. I mean, if you can say 90% of what, nothing?
So true. Oh, I wish, you know, I've had comments about me that have said, you know, she doesn't believe in anything that has to do with climate. She doesn't believe in anything that preserves our land. And nobody said that you couldn't be a little more responsible. That's fine. You know, just be a little bit more aware. But the scam of taxing people into oblivion over this, into the scam of human-caused global warming, has become so incredible to me. It's become so incredible to me that now you have conservatives going, well, there is some truth to human-caused global warming. It just isn't as blown up as they say it is. But they've actually segued into, well, yes, we do. Because you'll hear this from Romney. You'll hear this from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we do have a problem. We actually do have. And I'm thinking, no, we do not have a problem. You don't have to concede to the problem to meet anyone halfway that is trying to scam you. It's ridiculous. And so I want to take a caller for you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. You're on with Ben from DefendingUtah.org.
Well, I have little doubt that Mitt will ride to the rescue on this one.
Yeah.
He will stop this because right. He is an activist. Just a short side note here. Georgia's got a bill they almost are ready to pass that's going to severely restrict abortion. And it occurs to me that it's such a hot-button issue. That's a good way to prevent California-type people from moving into your state and voting liberal.
Hey,
because
that's true.
They are so abortion is pro-life is so repugnant to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you're right.
Just
yeah, you're right. Hey, thank
Utah
you.
Utah should
yeah.
do the same thing, but I'm surprised it's not. And if it's not by now, I don't imagine that people care enough.
You know what? I'm not surprised.
About abortion to do that.
I'm not surprised. You know why? Have you met the legislatures? Have you met 99% of them? They actually,
no.
I think they, well, it's all words. And so I actually think
well,
that
the people around here
really
that
words.
I have met are just nice as pie, mm-hmm. but they are clueless.
Yeah.
Willfully clueless. So
well,
I get that.
Well, thanks.
Some of them
thanks.
Are a little more than clueless. We have,
yeah.
we have. There was actually a bill back in mm-hmm. 2003 mm-hmm. that banned all public funding of abortion. Mm-hmm. And so behind the scenes, Republican leadership, you know, that pretends to be pro-life. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of these guys always puts forth a fake pro-life bill every year mm-hmm. to give himself that cover. Mm-hmm. But what he did behind the scenes was change the definition, because this is something they can do. You can pass laws, but you can actually, in administrative rules out of session, you can change the definitions of words. And so all that they did was they, and this bill actually stopped abortion because if hospitals weren't guaranteed funding from the government, they stopped providing the service. And so what happened was they went behind the scenes and they changed the definition of public funds, and then abortions continued. And so they play this word game to be able to say, oh, look at me, I'm pro-life, when they're actually working behind the scenes to encourage abortion in Utah.
Isn't that insane? And you know what? Just a second, caller. You know what, too? It's the bait and switch. You know, I know what to expect from a liberal progressive. I know
right.
I know what they're all about. But when I see the bait and switch and the conniving that goes on behind the scenes and the threats and all of the insane stuff that goes on behind the scenes in Utah's mm-hmm. legislature with mostly Republicans, that should worry people and it should bother people and people should be angry about it. And what do? They get mad if you call it out. They don't want to think that their beloved Republican person is going along with not only getting rid of the Second Amendment, but also supporting abortion. They don't want to think about it. And so
right.
they get mad at the messenger is what they do. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to the two of you. Mm-hmm. I really want to echo something you said, Kate. It's really important.
Sure.
There is absolutely no scientific evidence that CO2 is harming this world mm-hmm. at all.
Yep.
And there's 38,000 climatologists, meteorologists, astrophysicists, paleoclimatologists that back that up. So it's really important that we confront these Republicans that are saying, oh, it's a problem, but it's not as bad a problem. And I've seen a trend in the last 4 months where they're doing this everywhere. All Republicans are saying this now, mm-hmm. established Republicans, which is almost mm-hmm. all of them.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, and it's not a pollution. I think you know that, Ben. It's a gas of life. There's two gases of life. Oxygen and CO2. And there's plenty of scientific evidence of what would be better off if CO2 levels went up. So it's really important we confront these that say, well, it's a bit of a problem or it's just exaggerated. No, it isn't. That's a slippery slope. But the other point I want to make, mm-hmm. I have a congressman here named Chris Stewart, mm-hmm. and I went to his last town hall meeting, mm-hmm. and he's going to solve, he told us what the solution is. He said, follow his example, because he believes man is causing global warming. He believes it's carbon coke, so at least he claims he believes it. He's so dishonest. But he said the solution and what he's doing is he's riding his bike to work in Washington. So he, of course, presented that as an example for the rest of us. So if we start riding our bikes to work, I guess we're going to solve this fictitious problem. And I assume you're going to be riding your bike to work on Monday, Kate.
Yes, I am. It has a big basket. Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so, so fun.
We voted him into office. He must be smart or know what he's doing, right?
Right. I've been so disappointed in him. It's not even funny. Thank you so much for that. You know,
I absolutely agree with what Mark said. Mm-hmm. It's It's not hurting us. It's actually helping us. We see life returning in the African desert. It is actually making it. And so growing seasons are longer in more parts of the world, making it so less people are starving. And so he's absolutely right. Not only is it not hurting, but is it man-made? Well, is my wood-burning stove causing the ice caps on Mars to melt? I don't think so.
Well, you know, I say this a lot because we have new listeners all the time, but Freeman Dyson, Jason scientist, I actually had him on the show. He's like 95 now. He actually goes to his office every day at Princeton. He was actually quite liberal as well. And Obama's pick. Well, when Obama was president, he basically came out and he said, why do they keep saying this is harmful? This is complete rubbish. He said, this is absolutely ridiculous. So the minute he started saying that and being very vocal about it, of course, the press picked up on it because he was Obama's pick and he was just shunning Obama. He was just basically tearing it apart and into shreds because he had been one of the first persons that was on climate change. And so he's like, what are they doing? This is ridiculous. This Al Gore thing, this is all ridiculous. So the minute he started doing that, what did the administration under Obama do? They came out and said that he was that he had Alzheimer's. He was like had dementia and that he was unstable. And I had him on the show so everyone could see that wasn't the case. And boy, he shot that thing down so well. It was so fun to listen to him. And he doesn't do hardly any interviews anymore. I was really glad I could nab him right before he stopped doing a majority of his interviews. But I'll tell you what, it was fun to listen to somebody that knew their stuff, that was on the climate change councils from the very beginning. And to see him really out the truth was, and he was angry. He was angry that they had taken this lie and that they were perpetuating it. Because if everybody remembers during the state, one of the state addresses, and I have it on a sound clip where Obama was threatening all of us. If you don't believe this, you better believe it. You better just understand what we say and you better just believe it. He also threatened the Coast Guard when he went down into San Diego. Do you remember that? He was threatening them that they had better do it. It was basically treason if they did not take in climate change and believe the mantra and spread the mantra. And it was like, wow, we have come to a new low. So.
Well, when you actually look at the documents that they talk about, like with Agenda 2030, at Maurice Strong saying that the sustainable development, what's not sustainable, he says, air conditioning. And so, you know, for all you folks in St. George, if you want to go down the road that they're going down, you know, that's not something I'm willing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. It is. I think it's so tough because, like I said, like we just said, both sides of the aisle now, both sides are conceding to the lie, either in part or in full. And when they do that, then it gives you this illusion to the American people that, oh, yes, you know, this isn't this is there's truth to this. And there isn't. The whole thing was built on a lie and a scam. Just like when we talked about poverty in America, to the tune that they're trying to call it out to be. There's so many scams going on that we have to recognize some of the scams along the way. And that's
exactly.
That's what they did in the 60s. They decided they were going to invent a huge poverty problem so they could start siphoning money off the people. And that's exactly what they've been doing since. And with affordable housing and everything else you and I have talked about on this show, that actually hits Utah quite well. So thank you so much. Subscribe to their newsletter. Get over to defendingutah.org. Isn't Ben fantastic? And also, they have so many new stories coming out, and he's giving me a little preview off the air, and you're just going to be blown away. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
you,
Ben. Thank you. And we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere on the Kate Daly Show. I want to hear what you have to say coming up in the next hour as well. We have a lot to go over. I want to hear your comments.
Join us Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. for the Foresight Wealth Builder Show. Brought to you by Foresight Wealth Management, helping you understand the investment world. Hosted by local financial...